Stay tuned for Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, a fun, informative talk show putting a spotlight on sustainability from around the globe. Mrs. Green doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. This show is sponsored by the Fairfax Companies. The Fairfax Companies are dedicated to improving the environment through creative and innovative business practices. Fairfax is the leader in the business of sustainability. As a leader in the construction waste industry, they demonstrate that it's possible to implement sustainable business practices profitably. Fairfax's mission is to find or create markets for all waste disposal in construction and demolition landfills. They screen and sort all construction and demolition waste that passes through their gates. By sorting these materials, they make sure that as much recyclable material as possible is diverted from the landfill and nothing goes into the landfill that may be harmful to the environment. Visit their website at www.thefairfaxcompanies.com for more information. Now, stay tuned for Mrs. Green's World.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to, and we're so glad you're here this Saturday, and we are also thrilled that Fairfax Company is our sponsor. Getting ready for Halloween, there are parties galore. Just remember to keep it safe and keep it green. Get ready for another outstanding, fun, informative, action-packed show today. We have a great lineup of guests, and in a perfect world, one of them will call in about a second. We have Colleen Crowninshield from Clean Cities, and I'm not sure, but I bet she'll be talking about GreeCycle, which is the day after Thanksgiving when just hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of gallons of grease are collected so that they are not put down the drain. Make sure that you don't do that. We will have a place for your grease no matter where you are from around the globe. There are GreeCycle activities coming on. And one of our friends from Sea of Green, Benjamin, is going to be checking in about fall classes. And more importantly, he's going to talk to us about hydroponic growing and aquaponic growing. He's just an amazing human being. He really has great stuff to share with us, and I am telling you right now, I'm thrilled that he's going to be calling in. And our guest that's going to be on and staying with us for a while is Diana Deem. She is what I call a green explosion of excitement and enthusiasm. She has her own radio show called Radio Green Talk. She's passionate about spreading the word about all things sustainable, as I am, and you won't believe some of the things that she's up to. She'll share with us her view on 8 planetary challenges. And what I love that she has done, I think this issue of sustainability is so massive. And people say to me, what is sustainability? And I say back, what isn't? So Diana has put it into 8 categories for the globe. And I think everything that you can possibly think of falls into those 8 categories. We might not get to all 8 of them, but hopefully we'll put a dent in them. You guys are going to be cracking up when you hear both of us going at it, because as I said, she's as excited and as enthusiastic as I am. So a little shout out about my first ever Down to Earth with Mrs. Green News that was broadcast live last Tuesday night with 6th graders Conrad Breyer and Alex Goodwin. We will be back with that in a minute, and we'll be waiting for Colleen Crowninshield, Diana Deem, and Benjamin from Sea of Green. Just stay here with me.
Hi, I'm Abbott Taylor. With over 35 years creating jewelry in Tucson, no one has more experience in designing and making diamond jewelry in Tucson than Abbott Taylor Jewelers. Please come in and see some of the thousands of designs we have created, or come in and have us design something original just for you. Whether you're looking for a simple and stylish graduation gift, your engagement ring, or a breathtaking jewelry piece to celebrate an important birthday or anniversary, you can't beat our competitive diamond pricing. With 100% trade-up guaranteed, set in an Abbott Taylor jewelry design, always using earth-friendly recycled gold. Abbott Taylor Jewelers, exquisite jewelry designs and exceptional diamond deals created right here in Tucson for over 35 years. Abbott Taylor Jewelers at 6383 East Grant Road, on Facebook and on the web at atdiamonds.com. Diamond designs for everyone. Abbott Taylor Jewelers.
Hi, this is Mrs. Green from Mrs. Green's World. I don't know about you, but it's pretty obvious gas prices are soaring. I'm thrilled to be getting 45 miles per gallon in town with my Honda Insight. Now is the perfect time to visit Chapman Tucson and check out the many fuel-efficient vehicles they have on their lots right now in every price range for every budget. Visit them at 4600 East 22nd Street between Columbus and Swan and tell them Mrs. Green sent you. Welcome back, everybody. Are you ready for a great show on Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think, we just want you to, and we love that idea. We are thrilled with our action-packed show today. We've got mega guests. We have our friend Colleen Crown and Shield from Clean Cities, a Clean Cities Hall of Famer that I might add right now. Happy Halloween. Clean Cities Hall of Famer, it sounds like you're at a party.
Oh, no, I'm actually walking out of the mall with my daughter. We're having a girls' day.
Awesome. That's very sustainable.
I know. We like to have our little girls' days, just she and I.
Okay, well, I said that I don't know what you're going to be talking about, but I'm going to suspect it might be about Grease Cycle after Thanksgiving. Is that right on, or what did you want to share
Absolutely
with us today?
Absolutely right on. I do want to share about the day after Thanksgiving grease recycling event. You know, it's something that we do annually, and what we do with the grease is we turn it into biodiesel.
Which runs cars and trucks.
It does, and you know, it's a great event, keeps the grease out of the sewer systems, out of the landfills, and just does something great with it. So we love this event, it's a lot of fun, and we'll be doing that, obviously, the day after Thanksgiving, hence the name, the Day After Thanksgiving Grease Recycle Event.
And where can people do it? I know that we have listeners from all around the country, and it goes on in other places. I know that. They can just Google it. What about here in Tucson?
Here in Tucson, we have our old favorite, of course, O'Reilly Chevrolet. That's something that we've done every single year there. They actually started this with us. So that's one of the big ones. And then, you know, we have a couple of other places. We have the Ina Road Treatment Plant, Pima County Ina Road Treatment Plant. And actually, you know, we've added some new locations this year. So what people can do is they can just log on to my website and find out more.
And I love that. People like to log on to websites. It's a great opportunity. Tell us your website. And as I always say, if you don't remember it because you're driving or having a girls' day shopping with your daughter or your son and making some really fun things happen on the weekend, you can always email info@mrsgreensworld.com and we'll connect you with all of our sponsors. So what is your website, Colleen?
Our website is www.pagnet.org. And I also want to put a plug out there for everybody who are making their own Halloween costumes this year.
Yes.
You know, we've
yes,
done stuff in
yes.
our house this year. We didn't buy anything. I'm going to be Jackie Kennedy, and I actually had everything that I needed to do that.
We better see pictures on Facebook.
We absolutely will. But I think it's important that people think about that this year and not going out and just buying stuff. But, you know, it's a lot of fun for the kids to find stuff around the house, too, to be. So it was a lot of fun for us this year, and I just want to put a plug out there for that.
And it does make it more fun, and it's better than just going out and buying a costume that you don't give a lot of thought to. My daughter, Emily, who's 20, and will be on the Halloween scene tonight, tomorrow night, and probably Monday night. She went into our many bins and she just came out in different costumes, and she's 23 years old, and she absolutely and positively will crack everybody up. She's going to change it out every night, but you collect these things.
It's a lot of fun to do it that way. And then the other thing, you know, we didn't buy any decorations this year either.
I'm proud of you.
My son went out to the backyard and found some old wood and made headstones out of them and made a graveyard in our front yard. And it looks so cool.
And it just, to me, it's another family thing. I really love the whole concept of that. Last Tuesday night, I was starting to say this when we took a break, but we had Conrad Breyer and Alex Goodwin on the first ever Down to Earth with Mrs. Green last Tuesday night. And they created an entire haunted house. This is their fourth year. And besides being incredibly entertaining, they were incredibly bright and on point. And they talked about their green haunted house from Sheets and how they are both, they saved these black capes from when they were little. And they were just, it was entertaining and delightful and intelligent conversation for two 11-year-olds. But they emphasized the importance of a green Halloween too. So I think it's catching on.
And, you know, the kids have a great time with. It gives them something to do constructive, and, you know, they just were having a great time. So that was our Halloween fun this year. So we're just having a great time.
Well, I expect
my daughter,
to see
Lauren, too.
Lauren.
She's having fun coming up with some new stuff this year.
She's not going to be a cheerleader, is she? Because she already has that costume.
She's not going to be a cheerleader. She's going to surprise all of her friends, so I can't say it because I know some of her friends listen.
Okay,
so.
And if they don't want to hear it on Mrs. Green. Okay, so
this is
absolutely our Betty Colleen Crowninshield from Clean Cities. Don't underestimate the power of your grease in your drains. It ruins them. As taxpayers, we have to pay for the repair. She helps sponsor a great event called Grease Recycling the day after Thanksgiving. It's really a family day and lots of people are in town and relatives. You can be the change you wish to see in the world by saving your turkey grease. I've got a lot of bacon grease to contribute and going out to one of the recycling centers. And kiddo, as always, thank you so much for calling in and say hi to your whole family for us.
Thank you very much. You guys
okay.
Have a wonderful day.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween to you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And as we get ready for Mr. Green to call Benjamin from Sea of Green, I did want to, oh, perfect timing. Benjamin is already on the line. Talk about, it is Mr. Green's birthday. So we want to say happy birthday, Mr. Green, because he was born on Halloween. So I want to do a shout out for that. And Benjamin, it was absolutely and positively perfect timing for you to call in from Sea of Green. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, good, good. It's so great to hear your voice. And I think this is the first time you're on my radio show. Am I right?
It is. Yes, it is.
Yes. And it's just a little background. Benjamin and a lot of his partners, they have unbelievably fun, great stores called Sea of Green. They have two here in Tucson. They have some up in Tempe. You have another one in Flagstaff, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And I do describe it as a little shop of horrors because it's so green that you feel so engulfed in the little in the most wonderful way. I think it is. So
it's a good place to work at.
It's a good place to work. Hydroponic growing, aquaponic growing. Just tell people a little bit about that, and then the classes you're going to be scheduling in the next couple of weeks, and in fact, have one going on today.
Yeah, we have one going out today. We had a good show up. We talked about the introduction to indoor cultivation. November 5th, we're doing another class. It's going to be grow room installation.
Okay.
And November 12th, it's hydroponic and soil plant maintenance.
Okay. Now, are those just at your store on 4th Avenue in Tucson, or is it at... Go ahead.
They're at Tempe, and they're also going to be in Tucson, but we're scheduling the Tucson stores at our east location.
Okay,
there's
a lot more room. And anybody in Tucson that wants to know, it's on the Sea of Green website. Mrs. Green can put it up on our event calendar as a scheduled event. We've got to get your social media person to start submitting those. And
okay.
Benjamin, tell me, because I've seen it because I've been coming in there for a couple of years now. Is there not an increase in the interest in what you're doing and in the change in demographics? It used to be like a lot of college students, you know, 4th Avenue kids. But when I go into your stores now, it's a vastly different, diverse demographic. Is that an accurate assessment?
Definitely. Yes, it is. I'm seeing a lot more families coming in, a lot more older retiree people coming in. Just to self-sustain themselves, trying to get to know how to grow their own food.
It's the fastest growing hobby in the United States, which makes Mrs. Green very happy. So the concept, you grow with water. Just explain that a little
bit. We grow with water. We don't use soil. We use inert mediums that have no nutritional value, and we just add all the nutrients to the water and kind of force feed the plant with its nutrients, and they grow faster and better. You're kind of controlling the environment. So.
And it's not really complicated. I mean, I've watched enough in there. You don't have to learn 500 new skills to be able to do it. Is that correct?
That is correct. It just takes maybe a couple books and some willpower and have fun with it, really. I mean, you're just growing a plant. You know, that's really, it's just a plant.
And the way that I think about it is that you have this great, we have a great story Benjamin and I share. I have like the monolith African violets. Is that true? You've seen them.
Oh, yeah. They're huge.
They're huge. And then Benjamin told me about these African violet. They're kind of hydroponic. I mean, my violets are in a little bit of soil, but it's definitely plants that are just, they're surrounded, you know, soaked in water. So it's the same concept. And
it is. It's like wicking the water through.
Right. It's constant wicking. Now, what about the, you know, you have a lot of questions, I think, about locally grown food and food supplies that are coming closer and closer. What are some of the most successful things that you can grow hydroponically? Is it everything, or are some things easier than not? Like, my first thought is, what about tomatoes? Can you grow tomatoes hydroponically?
Oh, yeah. Oh, definitely. And large scales, too. I mean, you could commercially grow tomatoes. There's a company in Wilcox, about 200 and some acres, called Eurofresh.
Right.
That does hydroponic tomatoes, which is kind of cool.
See, I didn't know that they were hydroponic. I knew about Eurofresh,
oh, yeah.
But I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's all hydroponic there, which is vines, you know, massive vines growing tomato plants.
Right. And what else about hydroponic? Like, to me, there's a whole message here, which is why I get so excited about Sea of Green.
I've seen radishes grown hydroponically. You know, you could definitely do eggplant, peppers, lettuce being a big one, more used in aquaponics, the fish cultivation.
Right.
Fish poop water. Lettuce is used a lot for that particular.
What about herbs?
Application. Herbs. Oh, yeah, definitely. That would work in the whole aquaponics or nutrient film technology as well. Anything really can be grown hydroponics. Potatoes, I've seen potatoes being grown. Anything really. I've started an avocado tree hydroponically.
Oh my gosh. So when people come into you off the street, I mean, is it a destination on Fourth Avenue, or do some people come in and say to you, so what's this all about? Or do they know you're there? And if that person comes in like me, I did one day, I said, what is all this about? And you started explaining to me, and I think I stayed 2 hours. I'm not sure.
Yeah. I would say probably about 70% of our customers are lately have just been coming and walking in and saying, what are you? What is this? You know,
that's awesome.
Kind of cool. Yeah. And then, the other 30 more of a destination shop. But yeah.
And for people that are listening in Tucson, the East Side location is a new location, and we have got to get together and plan some type of Mrs. Green and Sea of Green event there for the fall. But everybody's been so busy. Tell people where that new location is and how that store's doing.
The store's doing really well. Getting a lot more people coming in, noticing that we're here. The address to the location is 7955 East Broadway Boulevard. Tucson, Arizona. It's on the corner of Broadway and Pantano. Basically.
And it's on the northeast corner.
Yes, ma'am.
And it's a big, beautiful new store, and everybody's really friendly. And like when I've been in there, it's such a different demographic. I mean, there's everything. There's the young kids, you know, for which to me is anybody over under 40. And then there's my age, the younger new 40, because 60 is the new 40. So.
Yep.
And the stores in Flagstaff and Tempe, do they pretty much do the same thing? And how's their space? Because you're really jammed in there on Fourth Avenue. I mean, it's very cozy.
Yeah, I would say that is the smallest store out of all five of them, the one on Fourth Avenue. The other ones are pretty large. They're pretty good-sized stores. So, I mean, they have everything you need there, soil, nutrients, hydroponic systems, lights.
And let's just say a word before we have to go to break. Let's say a word, and we've got some time. We don't have to hurry. But what about when you say hydroponics, people might think that it wastes water, and it does just the opposite. It really conserves water.
It does do the opposite. Yeah, you use about 40% less water in hydroponics. And that's because you reuse it for like a week or two versus like gardening in soil. The water just goes into the soil and then evaporates.
Right. It's really, I mean, I think that we have to make that statement. And I love to hear you say that more and more families are coming in. More and more families are putting chicken coops in. They're composting. It's just a great direction for Mrs. Green to want to see. So, and I will see you soon. I promise you that. I'll come down. We'll make a plan. Okay, Benjamin, have a great Saturday, a safe Halloween, and happy downtown fun on 4th Avenue, because I'm sure it's going to be live tonight.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it is.
Okay. So, thanks for your support of Mrs. Green's World. Take good care. Okay, now what we're going to do is we're going to call what I just call her. She's a bundle of green enthusiasm. It's really weird when I'm talking to Diana Deem. She's excited. She's enthusiastic. She has hope for the planet. She has her own Radio Green talk show called Radio Green Talk. She's got connections with some unbelievable people around the world, and she has put her views about how massive this is into 8 planetary challenges. And I will name them now because we'll connect with her on the phone. But when we talked, we've talked numerous times for hours: infrastructure, green energy, clean oceans, climate change, healthcare, zero waste, clean water, social justice, and action. I mean, that's all part of what's going on. And to just finish up with, I wanted to tell you a little bit more about what these kids were like on Tuesday night. It was a new thing for me, and I don't want to gloss over it. It's Down to Earth with Mrs. Green. I'd love to have regular sessions for this and have regular Tuesday night, almost like jam sessions. I chose Conrad and Alex first because they were just so impressive to me. I met Conrad first, and we are having the most unbelievable vision for what's going on with Mrs. Green. And these kids were articulate. They have a grasp for what sustainability is. They have a grasp for world issues without being depressed. I mean, I asked them what some of the biggest challenges were facing our planet, and Conrad said education. And then Alex said fossil fuel, or consumption of fossil fuel. So if you can't listen on Tuesday nights, it's always going to be on my website, Mrs. Green's World. .com, and you go up to the website and you can see it's Listen Now, and on the right it's about Green Haunted House. And it started because they had a vision for putting together a very green Halloween, and they were funny and fun and informative, but they had a message about what they do. And they talked about Conrad's mom, Garden. She works at the Nature Conservancy, which is how it all started. So it's a wonderful opportunity for young people to get engaged in the conversation about sustainability. And I encourage you, if you have a young person that you come across, just take the time to be in touch with me and to let me know what's going on about the kids in your life, because it's they didn't sound goofy at all. I mean, these are on purpose kids with a sense of humor and an ability to converse with me. It was half hour. It's uninterrupted. And I'd love to see a whole another show start of it, you know, Down to Earth with Mrs. Green, that are around timely topics that we don't have to plan, you know, 6 months ahead. So just so that you know what's going on behind the scenes, this is, you know, where there's always the reality of what's happening. And Mr. Green is not having any luck getting in touch with Diana, but we will, because I spoke to her earlier on the show. And you can look at her website, which is, I think it's Radio Green Talk. And one of the things we talked about was collaborating on a global scale about blowing this up and making really good things happen. With Diana, she has a vision for a sustainable world that I do, and spreading the word through radio, looking for sponsors. She's had some great guests. She's like I am. She's constantly looking. She thinks that green is fashion. She thinks that green is burials. She thinks that green is energy. And when I hear somebody put it into eight areas. I can't think of anything else that's more important than trying to get my head around all of the massive issues that there are. So we are lucky. I mean, we are live. It's only a little bit late, and James has made, or James, Mr. Green, we all know his persona, is going to connect with Diana. She's going to start sharing us with her dream and giving us her vision for making the world a better place. So, kiddo, we made contact. Are you there?
Hi, Gina.
Hi. I don't know what happened with the numbers. Kelly called in and said there was another number, and then I called. So it's like, it's all good, because we're all good and about sustaining our nerves. And I was saying great things about you. I don't know if you knew, I called you a green explosion of excitement and enthusiasm, which I totally believe is true. So,
well, thanks. I did not know that.
So I did. Well, there you go. So give us a little bit. I always like to, you know, put a frame of reference in for how you started Radio Green Talk and what your vision is, some of your challenges. Let's call them frustrations, because you and I are both frustrated with how things aren't changing fast enough. So just give a little, who is Diana Deem from Radio Green Talk?
Oh, thanks, Gina. Basically, the show kind of came out of nowhere. It was a request of a friend to help build a message. And probably over the last 20 years, my focus has been on environmental health and safety. And I was fortunate enough to travel around the world from a consulting perspective and help large organizations integrate, like I mentioned, environmental health and safety and sustainability into what they do on the planet. So it was a lot of manufacturing at the time I was looking at manufacturing facilities. So I learned a lot from a technical standpoint then. And then I had a vision way back when, and I started to work with the University of Southern California. And I had originally called it the Great Thinkers Forum. And then when the opportunity to do radio came about, I wanted to take that vision, actually take a more thoughtful approach to the planet and reduce our environmental footprint by traveling everywhere. And we began to pull this thing together called Radio Green Talk. And it was all focused on creating a global collective for a sustainable planet. And the difference, I mean, it's similar to what both of us are doing, which I'm really excited about. We're bringing people to the table to tell their story on how they've made a positive environmental, economic, or human difference on the planet.
And so go ahead. Hmm? You know, we knew we'd interrupt each other, but I just press pause here for a minute. One of the things that I think is wonderful is that when I learned about your show, I couldn't wait to have you on instead of saying, oh no, there's another green radio show. I couldn't wait to share with the planet what you're doing, because there can't be enough of us. We've got to figure out how to tip the scales and raise the consciousness through all forms of social media. And from the first you and I talk, we knew it was going to be a good match, and we have no idea where it's going.
Right. I was so excited in our first conversation just talking about how if we, you know, collectively work together, like the messages that we're sending, you know, to our listeners, and then all of our amazing guests, you know, sharing these different ways of greening this planet, for example, or driving a green economy, or, you know, whatever it might be, a technology or a new product, for example. I think we got to do it together. I loved what you just said.
It'll work if we do it together and support each other. And it's the new paradigm of cooperation and partnerships as opposed to competition and greed. But this is a happy show, so we're not going to talk about that. This is a show that makes you think and doesn't tell you what to think. So let's think about that. Now, when you come to a place where you have had some absolutely and positively amazing guests. I'm thrilled that I'm going to be on your show and some of the people that'll be sharing that airtime with me. What you said about, I went from doing this, 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 and this to a radio talk show, which isn't the most common segue for people, but it was for me as well. So I just think that, and then you honed it down in the next segment where I'd love to talk about how you went from this macro 30,000 feet view, or maybe 300,000 feet view, to to talking about the eight planetary challenges. And I love that you did hone them down. And I was trying to think of anything that I can think of that isn't in there, because everything is related to sustainability. Everything we think, do, and say. You're either putting it out there or not. And I love it. So this is what happens on talk radio. There's going to be a break because we have to do that. And everybody will want to stay here to listen to Diana Deem from Radio Green Talk. Her explosion of excitement and enthusiasm is contagious. Stay here with me. We will be right back.
What will it take to make solar power really take hold? A good way to store it? Check. A good way to move it? Check. A cheap way to make it? Check. Back soon. Because U of A scientists are shining their optics expertise on a new class of super mirrors that focus light onto solar cells at unprecedented intensity. Stronger light, fewer cells, lower cost. We like that equation. The University of Arizona, a sustainable partner in Arizona's future.
The Fairfax Companies is Tucson's green waste disposal solution. Contractors, landscapers, or do-it-yourselfers, come see us. We recycle almost all types of construction and landscape waste. Eastside Speedway and Prudence, Northwest I-9-I-10, Southeast Drexel and Houghton. The Fairfax Companies is the leader in the business of sustainability. We're open to the public and cost less than other landfills. Call 290-9313, 290-9313, or visit us online at thefairfaxcompanies.com.
What if you had simple and easy solutions to live, work, and play green? Green Living Magazine, the premier green lifestyle magazine, brings you the latest in organic cooking, gardening, health and wellness, chef and celebrity interviews, as well as easy solutions to clean up your everyday life. Visit greenlivingaz.com for the latest in green news. Buy your subscription and view our network videos. Find us on Facebook and Twitter, and again at greenlivingaz.com.
Go deep underwater without getting wet. Study bugs like a real scientist. Make your shadow move in colors. These are just three reasons to visit the exciting hands-on new exhibits at the Children's Museum Tucson, the region's only museum just for kids. For 25 years, we've ignited kids' imaginations at the Children's Museum Tucson. That's something to celebrate. And admission is only $2 on the first Sunday and on the 25th of each month this whole year. Children's Museum Tucson, where imagination and learning connect.
Girl Scouts offers once-in-a-lifetime opportunities and experiences for all girls. By becoming a member yourself, for only $12, you are helping to make this possible. As a member, you don't have to be a troop leader or even have a daughter in Girl Scouts. Being a member means that you want to support girls in Southern Arizona and inspire them to have courage, confidence, and character. To unleash a girl's potential and support the Girl Scout movement, visit the Community tab at GirlScoutsSOAZ.org.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. What an action-packed show today. I'm kind of out of breath. Happy Halloween. Happy Green Halloween. Happy birthday, Mr. Green, on Halloween. We had our friend Colleen Crown and Shield talking about why it's so important that you don't pour your turkey grease down the drain. That's all part of it. I'm not sure which one of Diana Deem's eight planetary challenges that falls under, but I think maybe about three of them. And then we had Benjamin from Sea of Green, and I always like to think globally, act locally. They are a local business that's thriving in these challenging economic times, and they're all about hydroponic growing, a crew of people that are helpful when you go in there. You can know nothing and leave with a very little tiny hydroponic garden ready to go and learn and do a lot more of your own local growing. So I love being Mrs. Green, in case you haven't figured that out yet. And I love that as part of that journey, I got to connect with this wonderful woman, wonderful human being, intelligent on purpose, here, Diana Deem from Radio Green Talk. And she is going to share with us some of her really important the focus she has put on the question of creating a sustainable community and world. So, Diana, thanks for taking the time to be on my show, and let's go. You go, girl.
Thanks, Gina. Absolutely. And I'm just so excited that we're both working on this together. I'd love to talk about the 8 planetary challenges that we've come up with. I know you have an amazing Mrs. Green's World team. I have a wonderful Radio Green Talk team as well.
Gosh, I do. I love my team. I do. They make this all happen. They make us work, our life work. So, yes, that's a really sustainable thing to do. I don't know what I would do without any one of them. So thanks for bringing that up, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We've got a team on this side that's, you know, psychologists, health and wellness thinkers, you know, social marketing, you know, legal environmental experts, you know, fundraising and philanthropic thinkers and technology and I'm blessed. And I know you are too. What we decided to do was kind of say, okay, what are the biggest challenges facing the planet? And we called them the 8 planetary challenges. And it was funny because we turned the 8 on its side and it looked like infinity to us.
Yes, which I like. So. There's definitely a sacredness to that symbol. There really is.
And so basically what we did was we looked at the biggest challenges, and based on those challenges, we've brought leaders to the table to talk about their solutions, you know, for the planet. So our first one was infrastructure. And if we look across the nation and we look around the globe, you know, in many areas there's newly developing countries, and then there's also a lot of, you know, cities and states that have, you know, infrastructure issues because the infrastructure is becoming older and older.
Absolutely. Crumbling infrastructure.
Right.
We do.
So what we thought about and what we started to play with and what we're starting to learn from all these amazing guests is that there are some solutions out there. And they're kind of mind-blowing, and they're not here yet, but they're ideas, and they're starting to transform themselves. So if we think about all the grids that we have, the energy grid, the water grid, the transportation grid, I guess my question would be, you know, to everybody and to all of your listeners and my listeners as well, why couldn't we figure out a way to weave our electric grid, our water grid, our transportation grid, all of them together so that it's lowering our impact to the planet, for example, right?
Right.
And as we're doing this, we've got to make our way through environmental impact assessments. We have to do all these different things. But one of the considerations right now, for example, there's a thing called the National Smart Water Grid that's developing, and it's starting to grow legs. So we talked with the leader of that, and then now we're talking with, you know, energy companies to see if there might be an angle where we can consolidate these and like I said, impact the planet less.
I know.
What do you think of that?
The thing I love about this is that it's a cause of constant frustration with me, which you and I did not talk about. But being in the roles that we are, which is intersecting at many different points with different technologies and corporations and organizations that have different, you know, very different challenges. I call it the silo effect, which I stole from my friend Cindy. It's like, okay, you have the solar people here and the water people here and the energy people here, and there's got to be so much more integration, even talking to each other. It's got to be, we're all under one roof, and that's the truth. So how do we make it work? Because we really, the planet is a sealed envelope. So how do we integrate? And I think that's for infrastructure. I love it. Someone dreamed the dream, because then we'll make it happen. Okay, so what's number two?
Number two is green energy and what we're calling green water. So, for example, how do we really cause that 20% tipping point where we help individuals, families, communities, cities,
business
states,
owners,
the
right.
nation, business yeah. owners? How do we help them know or learn what's in it for them by integrating renewable energy into what they do? So, you know, there's a lot of discussion right now about cap and trade. Actually, Australia just finalized their very first cap and trade law into place 2 weeks ago. You know, what sort of incentives can we draw? And then how can we look at, you know, sort of energy demand and reduction? So I think it gets back to what you just said about how do we pull people together to break these silos and connect the dots. And that's, so number two is how do we do that?
Green energy. And we did talk off air earlier this morning about this. I heard a presentation from Dan Arvizu from the National Renewable Energy Lab, and it was like you could hear a pin drop with his somewhat complex but very understandable, almost plea for a national renewable energy policy, which every president since Eisenhower has articulated the need for. And I'm sitting there with my hands interwoven saying, he's got it. He's talking about integration of all of them. It's not just putting solar on your roofs. We have to look at every available option for green energy. Do you feel like it's at our fingertips, Diana? It's not 20 years down the road.
No, I think there's a business case for each of us personally as well. What we're seeing is a lot of entrepreneurs getting on board and seeing how they can make money at doing this. And I always like to say, okay, what's the environmental impact? What's the social impact? Meaning, how does that affect me? You know,
right. And how do we monetize it? Right. Yes.
Exactly. And I think NREL's doing some amazing things to try and tie the what's in it for us. To where they're headed, you know, down the trail with renewable
Even
energy.
Even with their building they did. I mean, he is an amazing human being. And you talk about someone that has a lot of hope for the future. He kind of thinks that our generation, not you, but me, might have to, like, die off first, because he was very adamant about it's absolutely and positively not a discussion that belongs in the political arena. It's not about politics. It's about the planet. And he said, we've got to, like, apoliticize it, and then there will be a lot of forward motion. So,
absolutely, and like you said, I listened to your show, your Halloween show with your wonderful boys, and between Alec and Conrad, boy, they really get it for
Can
the
you
future,
believe
you know,
that?
For our next generation, 11-year-olds.
Eleven-year-olds, and I mean, we had it. It was filmed here, and you know, my husband was here. He's my board op and my team member, and we were all just sitting there, not entertained. Enthralled and impressed by what these kids, they're deep thinkers and they really have a vision for what they want their world to be. Okay. The next
really
one, because I want to make sure that we get to all eight on this show.
Absolutely.
Time is going
to
fly. So clean oceans, which could be an entire show that you and I could just wax poetic about. Clean oceans, one of the nearest and dearest to my heart. So what's your comment on that as one of your planetary challenges?
One of the things I'm learning, we've had the University of California, Irvine, the urban water director for UCI, Bill Cooper, and he let me know that every fourth breath we attribute to the ocean.
Oh, you are kidding me! Is everybody
listening
to that? Every fourth breath.
Yep.
As in inhale, exhale.
Oh. Yep.
Wow,
to our ocean. So
we're in deep and serious potential caca, which is a highly elevated phrase.
So that being said, what we're learning, and I'm sure you've heard about the five gyres. There's five gyres of plastic floating around in the planet. It's like a back eddy where this plastic sort of just spirals and stays in one location. And what we're focusing on right now is solutions for cleaning up the plastic ocean, for example, based on that every fourth breath. And there's teams out there. There's so many amazing people out there doing amazing things to try and fix this situation. My excitement around that, though, and I always try to turn things on its head and make it an opportunity, is that plastic recovered could be recycled and people can make money at it. So I think the link between how do we clean up our oceans, how do we maintain our livelihood with our oceans, and how do we connect the dots back to renewable energy is critical.
Closing the loop. And just a little segue here. I was meeting with someone from a major company here in Tucson that has global impact, truly. And she wanted to talk to me about some events they have coming up to green their events, because it's a pet peeve of mine. And she kind of made the case a little bit about how it's, you know, it's okay if you use a plastic bottle, if you recycle it. And I want to say, yes, it is. But the first R is really reduce. And the second is reuse. And the third is recycle. So if you're willing to settle for third, it's okay, but only 27% of plastic is in fact recycled at this point, which is beyond my comprehension. So if you are ready to step into action in one area, I would say get refillable, reusable bottles and don't buy them, because they will, a lot of them, the caps will end up in the ocean. Pieces of them will end up the ocean. Every part of them will not end up being recycled and made into furniture. I think that's a great development, but I just want to get people to think about three steps before that is reduce, and you reduce your carbon footprint by not having the oil that it takes to manufacture them, transport them. I don't want to sound soapboxy. We got a break we have to take. So thank you. What a great time. And we'll go back. It'll be all about you. Diana Dean from Radio Green Talk. Please stay here with me. Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. We will be right back.
Fairfax Companies is Tucson's green waste disposal solution. Contractors, landscapers, or do-it-yourselfers, come see us. We recycle almost all types of construction and landscape waste. Eastside Speedway in Prudence, Northwest I-9-I-10, Southeast Drexel and Houghton. The Fairfax Companies is the leader in the business of sustainability. We're open to the public and cost less than other landfills. Call 290-9313. 290-9313 or visit us online at thefairfaxcompanies.com.
Professor Joel Cuello isn't just growing algae in his U of A lab. He's growing hope for clean, renewable energy. Because algae offers one of the brightest alternatives to fossil fuels. It takes CO2 out of the air and gives back pure oxygen. It's non-toxic and yields amazing power. Best of all, a new UA technology makes growing it more affordable and efficient than ever. The University of Arizona, a sustainable partner in Arizona's future.
Hi, this is Mrs. Green. Do you know that you can save up to $258 a year on fuel costs when you drive a VW 2011 Jetta TDI clean diesel from Chapman? And you can travel up to 609 miles per tank and reduce those ugly, sooty emissions by 90%. And remember, Chapman doesn't just sell cars. They provide you with the best ownership experience possible. Visit them at 4600 East 22nd Street between Columbus and Swan and tell them Mrs. Green sent you.
My name is Mary Cochran, and I'm a pediatrician here in Southern Arizona. I'd like to tell you about an amazing leadership program for your daughters. I'm talking about Girl Scouts. Girl Scouts is everything you could wish for your daughters and more. Girls learn important life skills, explore the environment, take action in the community through service projects, and make lasting friendships, all while developing essential leadership skills. I encourage you to visit GirlScoutsSouthernArizona.org to find the perfect fit for your daughter.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And we are being given the opportunity to think about a lot of things with our incredible guest who has a commitment to the planet second to none, Diana Deem from Radio Green Talk. She has basically collectively intersected with great minds from around the planet and has come up with a list of what she calls 8 planetary challenges. We talked about infrastructure. We talked about green energy. We talked about our clean oceans. And let's hold space for that clean ocean title, because right now they're not. She let us know that every fourth breath we have the ocean to thank. So let's see if we can get all the rest in before we go to our final goodbye, Diana, but you'll be on again. So next one.
Next one is climate change. And I know there's a lot of skeptics out there, and there's a lot of people really concerned if climate change is actually real. This week we had Maggie Fox. She's Al Gore's CEO for the Climate Reality Project, and she gave some amazing statistics on why, you know, climate change is real and what we can do to solve it, actually get out there and solve it. So we also had Al Gore. He's a 16-year-old student who has created a thing called the I Matter March. And there's kids, millions of kids from around the world getting on board to literally solve climate change. One caveat to that, Gina, is that MIT actually came out with a science versus reality piece on climate change, and it was a gentleman from an MIT that did not believe in climate change, but he now does. So it may be interesting to look at it from a scientific standpoint. So we're trying to drive solutions for climate change.
It's just a little caveat about getting it out of the political arena, and then people can look at it, because it doesn't matter. It's happening. So let's just, yeah. So what's your next one? You're absolutely and positively right.
The other thing, just to comment on that, is that if we can help the nation and the globe understand what's in it for them with regard to climate change, there are some giant economic opportunities there.
Right.
So
I
take a completely different tack when it comes to, you know, I don't want to get caught in the middle of you know, is there climate change or isn't there? I want to come up with solutions and be able to say, you know what, we can go right down the middle of this with sustainability.
Right. So, love that.
You know, weaving together the economic, the social, and the environmental impact. The next one is health and welfare. And that ties back to agriculture. That ties back to the life cycle of where we get our food, where we get our water, how we stay healthy, how we get off of our reliance fossil fuels, and how do we actually drive green consumerism? It's healthier. There's a economic benefit for it, so on and so forth.
And we are what we eat, and we really are. We don't want to. We're not bugs, so we don't want to eat pesticides, insecticides, herbicides. And it just goes on and on and on. Our health, so important. You are spot on with that one. Okay, do we have for the next one?
The next one is we have an absolute dream to become a zero waste nation. There's a lot of companies out there, you know, like the Walmarts of the world, and you know, a lot of organizations pushing zero waste.
Companies.
And why are they doing it?
Because it'll help save them money. Yes, it's a good economic model. Absolutely and positively right. It'll increase their bottom line profitability.
Yep. And on top of it, it's an unbelievable way to, if they can actually walk their talk, it's a wonderful way to brand. So it all ties back.
And even if you go back to like with Walmart, if they decide that they are going to be absolutely and positively responsible, for example, selling all organic fruits and vegetables, the paradigm will shift immediately because of the volume of things that they purchase and farmers having to step up to the plate and come on board. And I know with yogurt, they did it. And by and large, they're a reason why organic milk is affordable, because this big, huge global giant, the consumers demanded it, I think, with milk, hormone-free milk. But they really said, okay, our consumers are saying it. And when they make the massive shift, the whole planet shifts a couple of steps.
Exactly. You couldn't put it better. It's interesting that you say that as well. Gary Hirschberg, the CEO of Stonyfield Farm, I was able to interview him, and he was amazing.
Oh, my gosh, awesome.
Yeah, he was able to really show the business case for becoming a zero waste company, and then and how to make money at it.
Right, and so, he was interviewed. He was a feature in Food Inc., correct?
Yeah.
Okay, we had Michael Pollan scheduled for the show, and he had to reschedule, but he's on the docket for 2012. Another hero of mine. So go ahead, zero
That's
waste.
Exciting.
Love it.
That's exciting. Okay, number seven is clean water. And one of the things we're seeing right now is, you know, across the nation, there's a lot of water in some places. There's not a lot of water in others. I live in Southern California, and there's not a whole lot of water here. And you know, studies have shown that because we rely on all of our water sources outside of Southern California, Northern California, for example, the Colorado River and everything, one earthquake could cause us not to have water here in Southern California. So that's part of it. But then the other part of it is, how do we look at our water systems and use gray water, for example, for, it's repurposing water so that we can not only reuse water, and there's some amazing technologies out there. The Orange County wastewater treatment facility has actually figured out a way to take sewage and bring it to the levels of consumption.
I've heard this before, and it's like, okay,
yeah.
I believe you, and I'll take a sip. It's a tough one for me to swallow, no pun intended.
Literally.
It's like, okay, we can do this. I gotta be
Well, it's funny because we're doing it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, And number eight is really utilizing education. And when I call the human factor around sustainability, so creating social awareness so people can embrace it, learn from it, see how it positively affects them, and can grow it. So if you step back and you look at these eight challenges, the human factor plays the number one role in all of it, in that decision making. And if we can go right down to the middle of sustainability, linking the economic, social, / human factor and the environment together, I think we have some pretty exciting opportunities ahead of us.
I could not agree with you more. And the social justice piece, it's like, well, what does that even mean? And I know I was at a Rotary International District Conference yesterday. I'm a big believer in Rotary. I've been in it 20 years because we have projects all over the world. We've significantly impacted the reduction of the cases of polio globally. We work on the reduction of malaria, getting clean water to the most remote areas, getting wells put in. And in the United States, we partner with places all over the world to help bring that about, and they in turn partner with us. And then the other issue, I was sitting to this young lady named Noor, who is from Jordan. She was from Cairo. Mm-hmm. And she said, she talked about the whole human trafficking and the issue of educating girls, which is what she flew here from Cairo to present on this project. And that's what you're talking about. Social justice is an all-encompassing approach to humanity. Is that a good way to say it?
It is. It's a beautiful way to say it. I think we can probably even tie one more thing to that. And 2 weeks ago, we had a couple of people on that had some very... One was the NBA ref that was thrown out of the league, for example, for gambling. And he talked about the sustainability of truth and how he had to, you know, through his poor choices, how he had to pretty much recreate his life. And now what he's doing is he's trying to help students and kids and athletes not to make the same mistakes he made.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
pretty, but I think of that as it's kind of like the human sustainability factor. You know, it's each of us, you know, looking at ourselves and saying, okay, how do we live our lives sustainably? It can be with all these eight planetary challenges, right? Looking at those, but it's also who are we as individuals and how do we impact what we do, you know?
I do, and I think even about Halloween, I've not been hawking it a lot, because like you, I like to find that road. I love your visual for taking all of these and walking down the road with everybody on board, without polarizing. But I think about for Halloween, you know, Hershey's has just publicly and adamantly said it's not our fault where the chocolate is sourced. And it is a huge social justice issue to me because it is about human trafficking and kids being stolen in South Africa and being put on these plantations. So as a person in my town, I can choose to not buy Hershey's chocolate. And believe me, there are lots of other choices when you start looking. So that's social justice, which might not be felt greatly, but I made a little ripple.
That's interesting. It's all about, I believe, consumerism. I think it's all about kind of the solutions as well. And I think that if we were able, again, getting back to social awareness as number eight of the biggest planetary challenges, I even believe that, you know, Hershey or, you know, there's been a lot of big companies in the past that have, you know, working for them for so many years, I can see how much they're out there trying to do and drive change.
Right.
We're all going to make mistakes. I think that, you know, based on what just happened with Hershey has a really great opportunity to be able to say, okay, you know what? Let's bring this to light and let's fix it and let's come up with a better solution. And that's what's really happening right now in so many different areas is, you know, as long as, again, we're integrating economic, the social, and the environmental impact, weaving those into this tapestry of the planet, I would say.
And getting rid of the silo effect, because it's the integration of all those that I think, right, I love the underpinnings of this and the visual of the eight. So we don't have that much time left. It's like it just flows. It just flows. It just flies. So if people want to find you and listen to you, which I hope they will, give us a shout out for the best way to do that in your website and Facebook and Twitter, all of the social media platforms that help us connect these great green ideas.
Oh, thanks so much, Gina. First of all, thank you to you and your listeners. We are on a mission to create a global collective for a sustainable planet because we are all in this together. And we're excited to bring these ideas and these thoughts together. You can find us at RadioGreenTalk.com. And then we're also on Facebook.com/RadioGreenTalk and then Radio Green Talk Twitter.
I saw you tweeting some things about us and LinkedIn. I know, it's great. And we are going to meet in a couple of weeks. I'm flying to L.A. My daughter's getting an unbelievably great award for her work with the Downtown Women's Center. Dori Morales and Titian Donkersley from Green Living Magazine next week. Thanks for being a part of our show. Follow Mrs. Green on Facebook and Twitter. Happy Green Halloween and make it a great Green Week. Diana, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, Gina, thank you so much. You're doing amazing things, and I love your show.
So are you, and we'll talk soon.